Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Along with Hembo, Evan Cohen from One Sportsman Like, with Chris Canty, Michelle Smallman, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. In for Greeny today. In just a couple of minutes, we will discuss Aaron Rodgers' potential return to the New York Jets. We also have learned today, and people go back on the ESPN app and listen to our podcast, that Hembo and Greeny were FaceTiming last night, or at least Greeny attempted to FaceTime Hembo last night. It was a little too late for him, and he didn't want to pick up because he wasn't wearing clothes.
I was topless and bottomless.
Hot.
And he sleeps hot.
I sleep hot.
He sleeps hot. You have to add the extra laughs in there.
I mean, I sleep super hot.
Yeah, clearly. Bubba and Cam have told me something happened with you with breakfast.
Yeah.
But so I don't know what.
I think you're gonna be disappointed in me. Because you've really propped me up on the show as like a sort of an astute sports mind, and that's very kind of you. But there's also a different side of me where I'm much less intelligent. And that's in literally every other stage of life. All of my brain cells direct in one way, point in that direction. So every morning I eat 2 hard-boiled eggs as part of my breakfast. Every time. Like I bring in a couple hard-boiled eggs. I skin them, whatever the word is, and I remove the shell.
You skin them?
What's the verb? What's the verb?
Peel.
Peel?
Peel is a better verb than
skin. Take the shell off?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I remove the shells, I skin them, and then I eat them. Big problem happened today. The first egg was not hard-boiled.
Oh, God.
So at home in our fridge, we have like 2 different egg compartments because I obviously eat so many hard-boiled eggs. I do these every week like in a big pot. And I must have just dipped my hand into the wrong compartment last night when I packed my lunch. So there's a raw egg splattered all across my desk.
Here.
So I clean it up. There's another egg in my bag, of course, because I always bring 2. Now, a smart person, what would they do if they had just done that on
you're
their desk?
You're basically going to operate as if the egg is not boiled. You're going to operate in the kitchen over a sink, and you're going to crack it as if you were cracking an egg.
Cam, I want you to guess what I did.
Not that.
The exact same thing you did.
I cracked the second one because I was so prideful. I believe there's no way that I could have made that mistake twice. Like, I'm a man of ilk, of some repute. Could I possibly have put in 2 non-hard-boiled eggs in my breakfast?
Apparently, yes.
The answer is yes. And so there were then 2 raw eggs splattered across my desk today. That's the kind of stupid that I am.
So a few questions on this, if I may.
You may.
How did you physically transport them here? Because I'm surprised they didn't break as the raw egg and not the hard-boiled egg.
Right. So
getting
I have like a pretty durable lunch pail that I bring in.
A lunch pail.
I mean, yeah. Like literally, like
you really come off as a blue collar kind of guy.
Like I'm 12 though. Like I do have a lunch pail, a durable one. So as it was rattling around in my backpack, I guess both of them remained unscathed. So that's the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. What are your other follow ups? It seems.
So it was on your hands in the desk. I assume you cleaned it up.
Now, everywhere.
I actually am interested in what was the replacement breakfast.
None.
Haven't eaten yet.
I have not eaten yet, and I'm probably jittery and acting like it. You know, like I've been saying all these weird things today. Like I sleep hot like 10 times and
but
I sleep hot. Like that's something that a man says only if he's starving. Like I would never act this way if I had eaten breakfast today.
What's the normal lunch then? Because I'm sure you have the same lunch every day. Then,
yeah.
Too.
So on every Sunday, I create like this basically this bean, parsley, tomato, carrot salad with olive oil, lemon, salt and pepper in a big container. And I just eat one bowl of that each day for lunch. The exact same bowl, the exact same size after my workout. That's what I mean. I'm a regimented kind
and
of guy.
And no protein in there?
I mean, the beans are the protein there. I also
the beans are the protein. My bad,
I also do a protein shake after my lift. And that's why I look like this. And that's why you look like that.
I run every day. I have a running streak of at least 2 miles every day since April 1st, 2020.
If you could estimate how many pounds you could bench press right this second, what would it be?
Less than you, probably.
I mean, this is not relative.
I mean,
you're an older man. Like, I wouldn't expect you to.
I'm an older man. I'm 43. I'm not an older man.
Can you bench press your own age? Could you bench press the bar?
Can I bench 43 pounds?
Yeah.
Yes, I could bench press 43 pounds.
Could you bench press your own body weight?
No.
200?
No, I cannot do that.
250?
250? How heavy are you out of your mind?
You were just complaining about how heavy you looked in a photo.
250? I mean, no.
I'm guessing you're pretty tall.
I'm 6'1".
You carry your weight well, but there might be a lot of it.
I'd like to point out that when we were going into, or when we were in our last break, Hembo said, all right, that's it. I'm not making fun of you for the rest of the show.
And then he opened this hour with,
whoa, how much can you bench, bro?
You assured me that you weren't actually bothered
by
it. But you are.
No, how much can you bench, fatty?
It is true. I sound like a ridiculously self-righteous.
You know the player on the safety, Jeremy Chin? He actually added an S for me, and I have the jersey now. Jeremy Chins, as a matter of fact.
Evan Chins.
Yeah, that's what I have for him.
Calling you double chin.
So, like, okay, cool. You can bench, bro. Like, we get it.
I'm not exceedingly strong. I was just...
No, but you're making yourself out... Okay, he eats
you were
the
one challenging
the
my protein intake, so I'm going
to
punch back.
You wanted to talk about breakfast. We didn't...
Yeah, I mean, we didn't...
We would have never known it if you didn't...
I was actually disparaging myself for cracking open a second
egg. No, you wanted us to lead into all of your meals.
Just so you can make fun of Evan.
Correct.
No, I did not.
100%
You think I'm over here playing four-dimensional chess with the breakfast conversation?
Yes.
You guys are ridiculous.
Yep. Yes. What do you have for dinner?
Well, that's whatever my wife makes, generally. And that's that
but
varies.
If she makes a non-healthy thing, hypothetically, will you eat it?
Yeah, but I
will you eat pizza at any point?
Yeah, we'll do pizza occasionally, but usually I'll begrudgingly eat it. Like, I'll make it obvious when we're eating it that I wish we were eating something healthier. Like, I'm like that guy. Like, I'll eat it, but I'll also
be hypocritical. We know he calls out his wife's food. We've heard that before.
Her vodka sauce once was pungent.
Yeah, like, I know. The penny, I've heard
like
that.
Like, I was buzzed. Like, when I went to sleep, it was so strong.
You're really a turn-on to be a friend. I mean, do your friends like you?
My friends?
Yeah, do your friends like you?
I mean, you'd have
or
to
ask. Or are they friends with you? Like,
you'd
you know
have
how,
to
like,
ask
there's people
them.
In your life you're friends with forever, and you're like, I'm not going to break up with them as a friend?
Yeah.
Do you think your friends...
Yeah, like Keith Costas.
Keith Costas, I'm
He's
Bob's
friends
son.
With Bob's son.
I'm very, very friendly with Bob. He comes over to my house a couple times a year. We eat smoked meats together and watch Ken Burns baseball. That's a rite of passage for us. That's usually like a January or February thing, though, because... You know, he'll sprint through the winter meetings because he works at the MLB Network, of course, as one would expect. A job that I perhaps aspire to have someday because I just love old baseball.
Please,
you know,
go.
Like I'm saying this not kindly. I'm just saying this.
Yeah, say it.
There's no chance in hell Bubba specifically would associate with you if you both weren't on this show.
Oh, Bubba does not like him.
Yeah, Bubba doesn't associate.
Like,
with
I don't
me.
Even think Bubba would go. To, like, if you and Bubba were in the same room and you're like, you're done with the show, we're done at noon Eastern time, and you said, okay, do you want to grab lunch? I can't imagine Bubba grabbing lunch.
Bubba?
Bubba is such like an everyman, guy's guy kind of thing. Like, kind of thing? He's a thing. I just made him a thing.
I mean, person. His name's Bubba. So.
Yeah, but like, there's no way you'd ever associate with him, right?
Well, I think at the very least, at this point, I'm going strictly for the stories because if we're out to lunch or dinner, he's doing at least 7 things that are insane, and I'm going to be reporting back the next day. So.
You should ask Nuno about him. See how Nuno really feels about him.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean,
that might be worse.
These guys have a strictly on-air relationship.
How often do you drink, Hembo?
I'm reprehensible.
We were talking about that yesterday, Cam and I.
Generally just Friday evenings.
What do you drink?
That's more than I do. I don't drink at all. I've never been drunk in my life. I don't drink.
One pint, like one beer pint generally. But as you can see, like all these answers are very cut and dry, very regimented with everything. Life is much easier if you know what's happening next.
Okay, this is Greeny on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive.
I got egg on my face, don't I?
That was such a horrible joke.
Bad. That was bad.
You had so many good jokes today, and that
yeah, I just have so I'm just so freaking funny.
Oh my! What? This is Greeny coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose here on ESPN Radio, along with Hembo, Evan Cohen in for Greeny today. So Aaron Rodgers returns to practice. They open up their 21-day window for Aaron Rodgers. I think it's crazy that the Jets may let him come back. The Jets are obviously not in charge of him. We know that. The Rodgers camp is in charge of Rodgers. I just think at some point you have to protect him from himself. But I was thinking about Rodgers. And think about the world in which he has lived in for the last few years. And think about what is going on right now for Aaron Rodgers.
Mm.
There is a chance that Mike McCarthy could coach a team to a Super Bowl. There is a chance that Mike McCarthy could coach a player to an MVP. There is a chance the Green Bay Packers may have more wins this year than they did last year. There's a chance the New York Jets could have less wins this year than they did last year. And there is a chance that Nathaniel Hackett could not get anything out of Russ while Russ is getting everything out of Sean Payton. The world in which Aaron Rodgers is tied to, and as Chris Canty said this morning on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, the Aaron Rodgers universe,
all of the people and the places and the things and the teams that you tie to Aaron Rodgers are all going better right now than Aaron Rodgers. Like, Mike McCarthy is proving he can coach without Aaron Rodgers. We always thought, because Aaron Rodgers led us down this path, that Aaron Rodgers' lack of success in the latter years of McCarthy was just because of him. Well, he's had a lot of success now with the Dallas Cowboys and specifically Dak Prescott, right? We thought that the Green Bay Packers were making some huge mistake by saying goodbye to Rodgers and saying hello to Jordan Love, and yet Rodgers last year produced an 8-9 season. Love's first year as a starter, this week withstanding against Kansas City, could produce a record better than that.
Yeah, it could.
I mean, one more game, one more win is a winning record and potentially a playoff appearance. In addition, he loves Nathaniel Hackett. That's his guy. No, I can't believe what Sean Payton said about him. Sean Payton was right. Nathaniel Hackett is a terrible football coach, and that has been proven now multiple times outside of Aaron Rodgers. So all of these things that surround Rodgers, right, that, oh, well, you know, Mike McCarthy coached in the Super Bowl because of Aaron Rodgers. Well, Mike McCarthy may coach in the Super Bowl again at some point here. It's not implausible for that to happen. But Mike McCarthy has an MVP quarterback because it's Aaron Rodgers. Well, he may have another one. The world that Rodgers is living in right now and all of the people that are tied to him are all having a better year than he is.
Well, yes, of course, but the year he had ended after four plays with a freak injury.
It has not ended.
Well,
it has not ended.
I think that is in part because of some of the things that you said. I think Aaron Rodgers wants to return because he wants to prove that he can. That's the kind of guy he is. You don't become Aaron Rodgers without being driven like that. Some might call it irrational, but I think he would call it just being me. I don't know. In some sense, I think there's a chance that he could look at all these other people having success elsewhere and say to himself, well, this is going to drive me to return. At the same time, I think Aaron Rodgers has really enjoyed owning the Jets and would like to come back to prove to the world that he can. And if the Jets, you know, have a chance to get to the playoffs, to become the savior, to become the guy that does something that no one has ever done before, has to drive him. So, well, I think that you're right. All these things have lined up.
Who cares about that? I mean, like,
he does.
Right. I know. That's the thing. It's like he's trying to accomplish a goal that is unbelievable. And I'm not taking anything away from how much this guy has probably worked his butt off to accomplish this goal. Don't get me wrong on that. His unbelievable commitment physically and mentally to coming back is amazing. I am not in any way, shape, or form poo-pooing that. I am saying that is not some sort of record or accomplishment the sports world or world focuses on. This is not winning. Nobody's going to sit there and say, you know, hey, the two big storylines this year, Mahomes getting his third ring and Rodgers coming back after 13 weeks. Nobody will bring that up. Whoever wins the Super Bowl, that's the storyline we care about.
Mm-hmm.
We don't look at who has the quickest return from an ACL or an Achilles or a Tommy John surgery. Do you know? You probably know the answers to those things.
Cam Akers is the person that returned fastest, and it was like twice as long as Aaron Rodgers would be able to pull off if he comes back to the end of the season. The problem is, you're viewing this from a prism of sort of equal footing. Aaron Rodgers, unfortunately, because of what happened in week one, has had to swim upstream now ever since. All he can do is control what he can. And if Aaron Rodgers winds up doing this thing, like accomplishing this goal, then I think he could view this season as a success. And I do think that Aaron Rodgers pulling on that rope as hard as he is could absolutely carry momentum into the offseason and for next year too for his organization.
There's no way that him coming back he could view as a success. He could view it as an accomplishment. It is not a success.
But success is relative based upon the hand that you're dealt, right? Aaron Rodgers can't impact wins and losses right now because he's hurt. He can impact
his
recovery.
He should never be allowed to play for the Jets this year. They need to step in because by the
Who's
time...
Who's
they? The team, but they're not going to do it. It's why the only way that he doesn't play this year, if they're still alive, if he really wants to, and this will never happen, I understand that, is if Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb and Tim Boyle and Nathaniel Hackett and maybe Quinnen Williams and CJ Mosley and any of the big Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, stand in front of his locker and say, no. What do you mean? No, we're not letting you play.
Interesting.
You're not going to play. We love you. We want you on this team. We want you to lead us next year. We do not want you to have an offseason of rehab. We want you to have an offseason of preparation. Because Woody Johnson, the owner of the team, ain't telling him that. Joe Douglas, the general manager, ain't telling him that. Robert Saleh ain't telling him that. The only people, in my opinion, that could save this man from himself. Like, congratulations. You did it. We give it to you. You came back faster than anyone else in the history of the sport. All right. Awesome. I'm sorry. When you get inducted into the Hall of Fame, nobody will bring this up. It does not matter long term to anyone but you. And that's okay. You're allowed to be motivated to do things, to accomplish things for yourself. In no way am I saying you're not allowed to do that. What I am saying is that this team that's going to be out of it by the time he gets back cannot let him play football. And the owner, the general manager, and the head coach will not say this to him. The only people that should say it to him, because I think it's the only people to listen to, are his peers and his teammates.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was well said. That was a point well made, because Aaron Rodgers is the most powerful, important, and influential person in that organization.
He owns
and
the team.
The opinions of Woody Johnson or Robert Saleh or Joe Douglas, he might value, but he's not going to change his mind because of any of them. I think the notion of his teammates going to him and saying, hey, bud, let's see the forest through the trees is an interesting concept. And that might come from coaching. That might come from the front office. That might come from ownership. But the idea that that they should be the vessel and not them, I think it's a well-made point. I really do.
All right, coming up, we're going to get into some college football, but we got to get a tease on this sneaky Hembo trivia. You
yes.
ready for it?
Am I ready for it?
Well, literally, I mean, I heard you off the air, so I got to get a trivia question. I'm not ready for it.
I'm ready for it.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, in the poll era, in the AP poll era, which school has won the most undefeated national championships in college football?
The AP poll era, which school? I'm glad you clarified the AP poll. The poll era, James Harden could have chimed in on too. The AP poll era, which team won the most undefeated national championships? We will get the answer to Sneaky Hembo trivia and a college football deep dive next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Greeny, the podcast. This is Greeny.
We all love to make fun of Hembo. Tell Bubba, as you told me, about your dinner last night.
My wife, Lizzie, makes a lovely penne vodka.
It's penne.
Okay, are you from Sicily?
No, I'm not from Sicily. I'm from planet Earth. No one says penne. It's not 1 cent's worth of vodka. It's penne vodka.
Tasted like it cost 1 cent.
Whoa!
This is Greeny.
It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio. ESPN app, Sirius XM channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. You could be a part of Greeny Nation at 888-SAY-ESPN on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the ones fans deserve, along with Hembo, Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern with Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman every day here on ESPN Radio filling in for Greeny. We have Sneaky Hembo Trivia. Peter Burns, best week ever. On Sunday mornings, SEC Network, of course, at Peter Burns ESPN is joining us. So he is going to participate in this Sneaky Hembo
he
trivia.
He sure
question.
Is.
And he knows college football better than the rest of us. So I do wonder if he is going to get this correct.
Yeah, there's no chance he gets this wrong.
Oh, boy. All right, go ahead.
The question is this.
No pressure, Burns.
Peter, your layup is this.
Yeah.
In the AP poll era that dates to 1936, which school has won the most undefeated national championships?
Okay, who wants to start us off? Guess.
Bristol, go ahead.
USC.
Okay.
I'm going to go Notre Dame.
Peter?
Oh, I'm going to say future SEC member Oklahoma.
I am going to go Nebraska.
Okay. I'm looking at this leaderboard. This is really fun. So we have one guess for Notre Dame, one for Nebraska, one for Oklahoma, and one for USC. And the correct answer is Notre Dame.
Yes. Oh, wow. Bob.
Well done. Well done. I thought it was going to be like Georgia Tech in the 1940s or something.
Notre
like
Dame
that.
Had six. Bama had five. Nebraska had five. Oklahoma had four.
Oh, man.
And USC had three.
So we actually did a really good job.
Yeah, the Family Feud numbers, we did pretty good.
Yeah, we hit the leaderboard.
We would have done well.
Yeah, you just peppered the top of that leaderboard. But only Bubba got it right.
Yeah, but I'm very proud of us as a group. Peter, before we get into the college football conversation, please tell everybody what happened with your kids on Saturday.
Well, so my daughter is a diehard Alabama fan because I'm a diehard LSU fan because that's just the way it works here in the SEC world. And so my son, by proxy, was going to be pulling against Alabama as well. So I told him at the final part of the game, I'm like, buddy, you gotta pull for Auburn, the blue team. You know, he's 4 years old, so all he knows is I'm anti-Alabama. And sure enough, 4th and 31 happened, and he sounded like every single Auburn fan that was in Jordan-Hare Stadium that saw it happen just started crying, absolute meltdown. And, I just told you. I was like, it just means more here. Kid, like, get used to it. If you like college football, one day your favorite team's going to make you cry.
Yeah, that's amazing with kids. My kid's 10 and 7. I feel like they both are fans of teams now. They're starting to be. Just to annoy me. Like, they're fans of some of the teams that I like, but some of the teams that I don't like. All right, there's so many things we want to dive into. Let's start with this. Matt Rhule comes out, head coach in Nebraska, and he says a good quarterback costs $1 million to $2 million in the transfer portal. Peter Burns, is that a good thing for college football or a bad thing for college football?
I mean, look at the ratings right now. Has name, image, and likeness ruined college football ratings? I mean, you could say that they're as good as any, right? I mean, like, I think it's tough for people in the media to say it's a bad thing because I'm sitting here going, I make my money off of 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-old kids playing football. So I don't think it's a bad thing. The problem is that there's no speed limits right now on this Autobahn of college football. Now, the question is, do you need it? Right? Like, have we felt the game, is it not as good? Are people not watching it? No. Now, does it lose the, hey, I love this fact. Hugh Freeze was great. After he lost to New Mexico State, you know what he said? He goes, I don't know. I don't have connected guys that, like, live, breathe, die to play for Auburn football. And I'm thinking, oh, they're going to get blown out in the Iron Bowl. Well, guess what? The rivalry comes up next week, and they almost end up beating Alabama. So I still think it's too close to say. And by the way, it's probably $2.5-3 million. That would not have been a low number for Matt Rhule.
Yeah, and I think that I agree. I think it's more good than bad. I think the one thing that people don't acknowledge with this, and that we should start to talk about more and more, is that, like, the NBA to me is the best off season of any sport. And a lot of people don't like the regular season as much as they like. I do, but they don't like the regular season as much as they like the off season. College football off season, in many ways, for years was about people we don't know, high school recruits. Now, when you hear Riley Leonard may transfer to Notre Dame or head coaching moves, Peter, we now legitimately, and I think this is a great thing, we have college football free agency. That's awesome.
No. I mean, there's a countdown clock for the NFL. I mean, like you said, the craziness that is NBA free agency is really the second biggest thing outside of NBA playoffs, and we're getting that way. I mean, you know, just the fact yesterday in the SEC, KJ Jefferson, really talented player from Arkansas, there were rumors that his name had come in, and he has to go to social media saying, I'm not out of it. I'm not actually in the portal quite yet. But if you're a college football player and you got 1 year left, 1 year remaining, why would you not dip your toes into the transfer portal at all? Doesn't mean you necessarily have to leave, guys, but that's like telling an NFL or NBA free agency, hey, you're a free agent with no issues. You can go somewhere. But let's not test the free agent waters. Don't go out there and get offers right now. I don't blame the kids. And college football after this weekend is going to look completely different with the between the expansion of the conferences, the 12-team playoff. This is the end of college football 2.0 as we know it coming up this weekend.
And Peter, I think some of the very best quarterbacks in the country right this second are transfers themselves. Yesterday on this show, we talked about the Heisman Trophy. I look at the numbers and it says to me that Jaden Daniels is the clear and obvious front runner for the award. Vegas sees it differently. They have Bo Nix as the Heisman Trophy winner. As someone who has seen every snap that Jaden Daniels has played at LSU, what do you think?
I mean, there's no doubt to me. And how about that craziness? A former Pac-12 transfer from Arizona State leads the SEC, and then now a former Auburn SEC quarterback leads the Pac-12 and Bo Nix. Right? Talking about your transfer quarterback situations. But, I mean, there's no doubt. When you look at the numbers and what he means to his own team, Jaden Daniels is clearly the clear-cut favorite. I mean, that's the guy. Now, the reason why, and you guys appreciate the odds aspect of it, is that you still have Bo Nix, you still have half of the country that votes on that side of you know, west of the Mississippi, that are going to say, you know what, this what a great story for the Pac-12 to be in it. Bo Nix has been fantastic, and he's got one more opportunity on a championship weekend, mind you, against the 96th ranked total defense in college football. So I think it's he gets the last laugh, and here's how I look at it. It's basically Jaden Daniels is in at like 12 under in the U.S. Open, but Bo Nix is 12 under as well or 11 under, but he's sitting on the tee of a reachable par 5. And he's going to have an opportunity to go yard on the last one.
But Peter, let me push back just real quick because I agree with you. He has the chance to make the sort of finishing argument or closing statement this weekend, but I don't think they're close. Like what we're doing is penalizing Jaden Daniels for playing across a wretched defense that cost them three wins. Like, am I seeing this wrong? I mean, I know you're just sort of giving the other side from that half of the country. But from where I sit, if we're going to say the Heisman Trophy goes to the most outstanding player in college football, there's no question who the most outstanding player in college football is right this second, is there?
No, there's not. It's clearly Jaden Daniels. You look at what he does rushing the ball. You look at even the strength of schedule that LSU has had versus what Oregon has had this year. It's not even close. Now, I do push back just a certain extent because, honestly, Jaden Daniels' defense being so bad and so wretched, guys, almost had like a Caleb Williams effect at USC last year. Like, USC's defense was so atrocious that you're like, well, we got to leave him out here because if we don't, we're going to go give up another touchdown. So those have helped the numbers. But when you look at how he's played this year, there is zero doubt. But again, who should win and what the odds makers think is going to happen is often two different things. And I'm hopefully we see some chaos and all the odds makers are wrong this weekend.
It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Hembo, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny. Normally you hear me on Sportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time, here on ESPN Radio with Chris Canty, Michelle Smallman. We're joined by Peter Burns, Best Week Ever, SEC Network, Sunday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time with Courtney Cronin, of course, here on ESPN Radio. Peter, what's more likely after Sunday at noon Eastern? Is it that we will have two SEC teams out of the college football playoff or Ohio State in?
Well, Ohio State's out. Ohio State's a placeholder in my mind at this point. I mean, we've seen this through the committee going, all right, well, we don't want to drop them too far. But then, all right, when it comes down to it, and I've been doing the mock selection committee once before, and I've seen it, and you have these situations where you're like, yeah, you should probably have a team there. You believe it, but they're not. They don't have a chance to be in the Final Four. That's Ohio State. I mean, unless you're talking about Iowa end up winning and Oregon winning and, you know, Oklahoma State and Louisville. I mean, unless you just absolutely have chaos, that's not going to happen. I will tell you this, though, guys. It's crazy to think, but this could be a year that the SEC gets zero teams in. And it's not out of the realm of possibility. I think there's a lot of people that look at Louisville FSU and go, hey, if you're a Power 5 ACC champion, even with Tate Rodemaker, their backup quarterback, that they deserve to be in. And then the committee has already said that they value Texas in that win against Alabama even more so, and rightfully so, because they won by double digits in Tuscaloosa. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but a college football playoff, if Alabama barely beats Georgia and none of those two teams are in, it's going to feel a whole hell of a lot different than it ever has before.
Yeah, I have to control myself. I'm like ready to go crazy because like you're right on what you're saying, and I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Like if you gave me a choice right now blindly, I could have four SEC teams in all four spots or zero, I would take four. It is just ridiculous, Peter. The fact that we may have this play out this way, that if Georgia loses to Alabama,
Michigan wins, Washington State wins, Washington wins, Florida State wins, and then Texas wins, and you would go head-to-head Texas over Alabama and leave an SEC team out. It is utterly ridiculous. And I'm not going to discourage people from watching or listening here on ESPN Radio, but it is absolutely ridiculous to think that you could have zero SEC teams in. And you know what? I've thought about this. I've thought about this scenario a bunch. And here's the way I come up with what they're going to do. If what I just said plays itself out, I have a weird feeling, despite the loss, they would actually take Georgia. It would be the only way to keep an SEC team in and then make sure that they have the other three in. Because if they take Alabama, Texas is going to be mad, right? Because, hey, we beat Alabama head-to-head. If you take if you take Texas over Georgia, we're going to sit there and say, really, you're going to have zero SEC teams? So I actually think, as crazy as it sounds, it wouldn't shock me if Georgia loses and gets in.
You think about this, and here's the deal. If it gets to that point, right, and you're sitting there going, all right, what do I look at? A 12-1 Georgia squad? Right, a 12-1 Georgia squad who could crush Ole Miss, crush Tennessee, crush Missouri. You're saying, all right, are we going to let them in? Or if, you know, Florida State beats Louisville 17-13 and looks okay, what is deserving or what's the best? You can't tell me that's not one of the four best teams. And how are you going to say that's not Alabama as well, too, for the way that they've played since week two? I mean, things have changed since week two, guys. Deion Sanders was on the top of the world in college football in week two, right? Like, things can change throughout the course of the season.
Last thing here with Peter Burns, of course, SEC Network, best week ever here on ESPN Radio, Sunday morning, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern time. Bobby Petrino back to Arkansas. We talked about it a bunch on Unsportsmanlike this week, 6 to 10 a.m., of course, Monday through Friday. And I asked the question on the air a few days ago. I said, if Bobby Petrino can get rehired by Arkansas, then blank can get rehired by blank. How would you fill out those two blanks?
Urban Meyer would be back at Florida or maybe Utah. Ed Ogeron back at LSU. I mean, Mike Price at Alabama. Remember, it's rolling, baby. Like, yeah. I mean, this is chaos. But it goes to show you, and it's a great life lesson, right? If people think you have a perceived skill that's good, especially in a high revenue-driven industry, no matter if it's sports or anything, you play by a different set of rules. No way in any other part of life does Bobby Petrino get an opportunity to go back to his employer and after what he did at Arkansas. And because when you think of Arkansas, you think of him, that image of him in the neck brace, in the motorcycle, or it may not have been a motorcycle crash, all of that stuff. Only if people believe that you can do something extraordinary in desperate times called desperate measures, and they need an extraordinary offense right now, Sam Pittman wants to keep his job in Fayetteville.
Well, and that's the other thing. They want a lot of fans want Sam Pittman out. So if he's out, Bobby Petrino is going to become the head coach one day again at Arkansas.
Well, but think about this. Who was going to take that job, right? If you already think that you're in a situation where if you're a really good offensive coordinator, okay, you don't know if KJ Jefferson might enter the transfer portal. And if you decide to come back or you decide to take that job, if you're an up-and-comer and then Pittman gets fired halfway through, you're sitting there going, oh, what the hell am I going to do now? So – it is. It's another reason why I just love the beautiful disaster of college football. I mean, you take your NFL, the NBA. I love it. It's great. It's all nice and clean. I love the messiness that it is college football.
Peter, great job as always. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Later, boys.
All right, Peter Burns, best week ever, SEC Network. You'll hear him with Courtney Cronin, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday morning. She said it well. The messiness of college football is what we love. Now, Hembo. Early this morning, I gave you a homework assignment.
You did.
You remember that homework assignment?
Yeah, I didn't do it.
Oh, my God.
You going to fling that on me now?
Too busy cracking eggs.
I don't understand. Fling that on you now?
Yeah.
I walk in early. You and I are usually the first two people here,
mm-hmm.
right? Early in the morning. And I said, hey, I got something for you for today. And you said, oh, I could find that out in 2 seconds. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I could.
But you chose not to.
I bet you... by the time we're out of break, I will have a comprehensive answer.
No. Here's the thing.
But I don't have it now.
I want to bring in Cam.
It's not in the rundown. It's not even in the Google Doc.
I understand. But I want to bring in Cam and Bubba on one thing. I said to him about today, I said, did you see the Detroit Pistons have lost 15 games in a row? He said, yeah. And I said, I have no interest in talking about the Detroit Pistons, but what I would like to know is what is actually less common or more, whatever, the numbers behind in sports in general. what's harder to do, winning 15 in a row or losing 15 in a row? Right? And I said to you specifically, I said it's interesting in the NBA because guys take nights off. It's interesting in baseball because a pitcher could just have a bad outing, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's harder to do, winning 15 in a row or losing 15 in a row? To which you said to me, oh, yeah, I got that. We'll have that information.
Yeah, we'll have it.
But we're here. We're currently here.
We are here now, but
right.
It's not in the Google Docs, which means I thought you would shoot it for a different topic.
It was a slip-in comment. I literally said to you, hey, I want to slip it in at some point during the show today. We had a minute prior to when Peter was done and when we were going to break that I thought it was actually a great time to do the slip-in.
Yeah,
this
but
is the perfect slip-in.
This is a right show now. Using technology, a Google Doc. It's not in our Google Doc. The assumption that I make, oh, he's decided this isn't a topic worth talking about. We're not getting into the Pistons win streak today.
I never said we were. Today. I said we were getting into winning and losing, which is more difficult, winning 15 in a row or losing 15
But what you say haphazardly at 5:15 in the morning is very different than what appears in our concrete show rundown. Is it not? Bubba, Cam, take a vote. Whose side are you on?
I don't even know. I don't even know what you guys are arguing about, honestly.
I'm going with Evan here.
It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Greeny, the podcast.
It is Greeny on ESPN Radio, along with Hembo. Evan Cohen, in for Greeny today. Normally you hear me on Sportsmanlike with Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern. We are brought to you by Grainger for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions, plus their commitment to bring your safety partner and to being your safety partner, excuse me, can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by today with Grainger. All right, some breaking news here. Not necessarily great breaking news, but need to convey it to you. Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL Insider, has tweeted a statement from the Buffalo Bills this morning. We were made aware of an incident involving Von Miller. We are in the process of gathering more information, and we will have no further comment at this point. A warrant has been issued for Von Miller's arrest as a result of an alleged domestic violence dispute. Those are the details and information we know right now. Obviously, not going to speculate about that. But Von Miller, there is a warrant out for his arrest surrounding a domestic violence case. So obviously, keep listening here on ESPN Radio all day. And of course, Adam Schefter and ESPN.com and all of the ESPN social will have you updated. NFL Live, of course, as well later today on ESPN at 4 p.m. Eastern time. All right, Hembo, I gave you a quick assignment, a homework assignment, that I'm fascinated by winning and losing streaks. As to, like, I find it interesting that a winning streak is really difficult, but I also think a losing streak is also really difficult, specifically in the NBA and Major League Baseball. Why am I asking this question? Because the Detroit Pistons in their loss to the Lakers last night have lost now 15 games in a row. The numbers around losing and winning 15 in a row, what is actually harder to do in basketball and baseball?
I would like you to guess. I have all four lists up. So what I've done is look at every winning and losing streak of at least 15 games in the history of both sports.
Okay.
Let's start with the basketball list. What do you think is more common in that sport?
Winning. Winning, because I know the Lakers have had it. I know the Heat have had a 27-game winning streak. I know that there's a lot of Warriors have had winning streaks. I would say that winning streaks are more common in basketball and losing streaks are more common in baseball.
Cam, Bubba, is the winning streak or losing streak more common in basketball? What's your guess?
I'm going to say losing and winning in baseball.
I went the exact opposite on that.
Bubba, break the tie.
It's a 15, it has to be?
15 plus, yeah.
I'm going to say...
There's not a breaking of the tie. He could actually answer something differently.
That is true.
I'm going to go basketball. I'm going to say losing.
So in basketball, there have been 48 win streaks of at least 15 games. There have been 75 losing streaks.
Wow. Yeah, baby.
Of at least 15 games.
Wow.
That's okay. How you do it.
In baseball.
And all of those were the 2016-76.
They stunk. In baseball, what do you think is more common?
Losing.
I think winning.
And Bubba, what was your guess?
I think still losing.
So in the history of baseball, there have been 30 win streaks of at least 15 games.
That is unbelievably low over the course of baseball's history of over 100 years.
That's the most surprising number. There have been 36 such losing streaks.
Got it.
Okay.
Both extremely low.
Both lower than I thought.
Yeah, especially considering the amount of games, obviously. Mm-hmm. The percentage of games you'd be winning or losing would be lower than the other sports.
So you'd think.
That is stunning.
It's a fascinating question that you asked.
Well, I'm glad you did so much homework for it, so thank you.
6 hours later.
6 hours later,
yeah,
exactly.
Literally 6 hours later.
All right, tonight, more than 6 hours from now, we do have Thursday Night Football between the Cowboys and the Seahawks. The Cowboys are favored by 9 tonight at home where they've won, I believe, 13 games in a row. Right, Bubba? 13 in a row at home for the Cowboys?
Sure.
Yes, that's right, Bubba. 13 in a row, the average score in those games. Cowboys 36, their opponents 17. The last such loss was week one. The last quarterback to beat the Cowboys there was Tom Brady in the first game of last season. I don't know what your inclination is here. To me, I'm willing to play Dallas -9, -9.5. What would worry me is once this line climbs to 10, which I think is inevitable, given the amount of public money coming in on Dallas, which right now is something like 75-80%. But how well they're playing, how poorly the Seahawks are playing, and how banged up Geno Smith is, I think that Dallas pass rush is going to eat, and they're going to win this game by double figures.
I would agree. I also, see, this is where it gets tricky for me. I want to preemptively strike, and I have all day today here on ESPN Radio, and say that this is a good win regardless of how they get there tonight. Like, we have to give the Cowboys credit for beating a winning team. We can't all season say, well, they haven't beaten a winning team, and then they beat a winning team, and then say, well, that winning team is not as good as another winning team, right? We have to then change the argument, because you can't be, they haven't beaten a winning team.
But not all winning teams are created equal.
I understand that, but everything everyone has been saying is about they haven't beaten a team with a winning record. Then just say they haven't beaten a Super Bowl contender.
They've only played two of those, and they've destroyed everyone else they've played.
All right, so then say they haven't beaten a Super Bowl contender. That's your preface then for tonight.
But
right?
What's the bar for the Cowboys? The Cowboys, we keep saying, need to get past the divisional round, get to the championship round. The Seahawks right now, if they make the playoffs, are equivalent to like a wild card team. So right. they can beat those. That's not the concern. Yes, the stat is they haven't beat a winning team, but the proof that they've shown over the last couple seasons is that they can't beat the teams in the divisional round, the best teams when it matters most. This isn't that.
Right, but that's also, I understand that. But guess what? If they beat the Eagles next week and they don't get to the conference championship game this year, who cares they beat the Eagles? So I'm going to take your exact same approach. If the whole thing is they need to beat teams in the playoffs, good teams in the playoffs, and we're not going to give them credit for beating the wild card team in the playoffs, well, then guess what? Beating the best team in the league in the regular season doesn't accomplish what their goal is either.
Sure, but then they're just reducing the regular season to nothingness, and I'm not comfortable with that either. Like, these aren't exhibition games.
You graduate, in my opinion, in sports, your greatness or almost greatness graduates you out of caring about regular season games. The Dallas Cowboys...
They're not there.
But the Dallas Cowboys, they won 12 games each the last 2 years. They are good enough where now they have graduated out of me caring about a regular season game.
They're not there. The team.
But it doesn't matter if they win next week against Philadelphia, because it doesn't mean that they would win in the playoffs against them.
Of course it matters. If they beat the best team in football, their biggest rival.
It's a great win.
It's a
great
win.
Doesn't mean anything in 2 months.
It means an enormous amount.
Not in 2 months.
It could a lot based upon what happens in that game.
I agree with Evan on this. I think it won't matter unless they do it in the playoffs.
Should I not watch the game?
No,
I'm saying the
metric that we are measuring the Cowboys by right now is if they can get it done in the big games, but also in the playoffs. They've had big wins in regular seasons the last couple of years, not this year yet, but they keep falling short in the playoffs, especially to the 49ers. So they need to do it. Great if they beat the Eagles. That does prove something, but it doesn't prove as much as we're looking for them to prove.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
No, it's not, Coach. I mean, I'm telling you, Cam's right on this. See, here's the problem for the Cowboys. It's the reality. In terms of public perception, they can only lose tonight. A win is what they're supposed to do. Is a lose, everything goes crazy.
That's right.
And then next week, if they were to beat the Eagles, it's the reaction is going to be, well, it's the regular season.
Exactly. We need to stop moving the goalposts and treat
but
these games like they matter.
But that's what it's
going
to be.
There's only 17 of these games. We should treat them like they matter. They matter.
But it's a compliment. We're saying they've graduated out of it and into the playoffs.
It's not a compliment because they haven't graduated because they haven't gotten to the Final Four since I was 4 years old.
Greeny's laughing at you. Hear that? Carlin versus Joe coming up next. Along with Hembo, Evan Cohen in for Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Boom. I sleep hot.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.